This is a download from BFM 89.9, the business station.
BFM 89.9, good morning. You're listening to The Morning Run. I'm Shazana Mukhtar together with Philip C. It's 7:06 in the morning on Friday, the 17th of December.
Good morning, good morning.
But as we always do, first thing in the morning, we're going to recap how global markets closed yesterday.
Nespresso, bringing you the perfect blend of global market analysis and insights.
From the rally the previous day, we see all in negative territory. Tech took a huge beating. Nasdaq was down 2.5%. Dow was down 0.1%. S&P 500 was also down 0.9%. Over across in Asia, they were taking their cue from US the previous day. All were up. Nikkei was up 2.1%, Hang Seng up 0.2%, Shanghai Composite up 0.8%, STI up 0.5%, and back home, FBM KLCI marginally up 0.1%.
So this is a change from our markets yesterday, right?
Yes,
where
it was.
The US markets were all in the green, despite the Fed saying that they were going to taper quicker than expected, with 3 rate hikes expected in the coming year. But markets seem to be okay with that news.
I wonder if the dust has settled, because people loved the Fed comments because it was very much hawkish in tone, as you say, right? A bit surprising. But people also liked the clarity and communication that came out from the Fed. They were very clear about what they wanted to do.
Well,
right?
Maybe it's kind of like a delayed reaction because we see the US markets are down this morning.
Yes.
And another development that happened overnight for us is the Bank of England decision to raise interest rates
yes.
for the first time since the onset of the pandemic.
That's
so
right.
They've decided that inflation pressures are just, it's going too high for the moment. So they have raised interest rates to 0.25%
yes.
from a previous historic low of 0.1%.
A quarter percentage point. I think the past 24 hours, we saw a slew of central banks make a key amount of decisions. As you say, the Bank of England was a bit of a surprising decision in view that Omicron is also a bit of a challenge now in the UK. You're seeing cases escalate, but their concern is inflation. So they decided to tap it and address it. Now, if you look at other regions and markets as well, Europe also maintained their rates. Japan also maintained their rates as well.
Okay, so this is going to be something that people will be watching very closely.
Absolutely.
In the next coming weeks, especially as we head into 2022. How will this rate of interest hikes, what's the trend going to be like?
Yeah, and what does it mean for the economy, right?
So we're going to get some thoughts on what's going to be moving markets for the remainder of the year, as well as heading into the new year. We have Tim Mulholland on the line, president of TJM Limited, speaking to us in Chicago. Good morning, Tim. Good to hear from you. Now, the market can't seem to make its mind up. One day it closed in the green. Today it's in the red. Do they like the hawkish tone of the Fed or not? Because the market pulled back today, especially the Nasdaq.
Well, you know, it's interesting. I think they say, well, we have certainty. We know what they're going to do. But I think what happened yesterday was you saw, put volume or open interest had a 50-day high coming into yesterday. So I think there's a lot of unwind of some hedges, sell the rumor, buy the fact type thing. Hmm. And then also, quite frankly, 3 rate hikes next year. So what? 75 basis points when inflation's running at 4%? That sounds like positive interest rates to me. And the fact that the Fed's buying, $90 billion instead of $120 billion. So anyway, I mean, that's one reason. But then I think they look at this inflation problem as something that might, the policy error of the Fed moving too slow, yes, because the policy error would be that if they are moving too slow, they have to catch up and then they have to go faster. So I think the reality set in that rates are moving up, and I think it's some squaring up of positions as well. But it's really interesting how people are looking at the Fed tightening as if they say they're tightening and they recognize the problem solved. And I don't think that's true.
Yeah, I think it calls that. I think the Fed is going to be very dynamic, isn't it? Because this change in tone was also done very fast. I want to get your perspective on commodities, right? Because with these changes, it's very likely that the economy is expected to moderate a bit. We hope to see a bit more of a smoother landing, fingers crossed. What do you think it means for Brent crude going forward?
Well, first of all, I don't think it really means because the Fed's going to raise rates several times, the economy is going to slow. Because if you still have positive real rates, I think that's number one. So I don't think that's a foregone conclusion that, 75 basis points or 150. In fact, Dudley said 2.5% is probably where they got to go. But as far as Brent goes, I think that, unless Iran comes on with floods the market, which doesn't seem like it. But I think what they've done is they've got still a big demand issue for hydrocarbons and crude. and you've got this green push, so forth. So I think you have a supply-demand imbalance right now that's going to hold prices firm. So I look for the Brent crude. You know, they could have their swings, but I think at the end of the day, I think it's going to stay firm and move higher.
And let's take a look at how the Fed's monetary policy direction could affect U.S. banks and financial institutions in their performance next year. Do you see the current direction as a positive or negative catalyst for them?
Well, definitely it's a positive catalyst because, you know, the higher rate, of course, you don't really need a flattening of the curve. That'll work against them. But I think as in general, you know, the financials should benefit from the higher rate environment, especially if it goes without a slowing economy. And again, I'm not so sure that that's what we're going to see here just because of the talk.
So. And on the other end of the spectrum, tech, because it took a bit of a beating yesterday. Do you expect that volatility to continue and persist next year?
Oh, yeah. I think that we're going to be in this higher volatility environment, especially because now the Fed's hot and you got this moving and we're going to have these, are they going to go 25? And maybe we'll be saying, are they going to go 50 or what? You know, who knows what that. And I think the interesting dynamic to me, though, I think most important, and we can even talk about this some other time in more length, if you like. But when you look at the nominal yield curve, everyone talks how it's flattening and that portends a slowing economy. Well, if you look at the real yield curve through tips, it's steepening. So what you have is the alligator jaws with the real yield curve versus the nominal yield curve, and it's going to correct. And my bet is going to correct from higher rates. So that's where I think the interesting dynamic. And if that's the case, I think tech is vulnerable.
And while we're on the issue of tech, what do you think about Chinese tech? I mean, the Nasdaq Golden Dragon China Index has fallen nearly 43% year to date. And with the prospect of more sanctions by the Biden administration on Chinese tech companies, is there any hope of recovery in U.S. listed China stocks?
It's interesting because my investment club that I've been in for a while, we just had this dynamic. And, you know, we actually, like, I'm not really thinking the U.S. listed Chinese stocks are really going to do well. In fact, I have really no interest in those. What I do have interest in are the A shares. And, A share, the Harvest Deutsche Bank CSI 300 ETF. I think that's the one. You want the A shares, I think, in mainland China, because I think there's going to be some issues with these listed shares, plus the VIE structures that they have, I think leaves a little bit to be desired. So, you know, I'm in favor of A shares, but not so much U.S. listed Chinese shares.
Right. And Tim, staying on the investment club theme that you're talking about, please don't roll your eyes. Is your investment club in a frenzy over meme stocks like AMC and GameStop?
Well, I'm going to tell you, this investment club that I'm in, it's a 67-year-old investment club. And it's the ultimate buy. And we're like momentum, but we don't buy those. Every time we go into some of those stocks, we usually try and get solid stocks. So we've been as a big FANG. We've been huge in FANG and NVIDIA and these type of stocks. So, but I have to say that I'm amazed every month that we've met that the way we go about, it's not like we're really rocket scientists in this club and the way we do things. It really amazes me how easy it was. If the less you know, I guess, and the more momentum, the more you made. It was almost too easy. But no, we don't. I think those meme stocks are something that, from an investment club standpoint, that's trading stuff. I don't think that's investment.
In that case, Tim, can we just shift our attention to Europe very quickly? The Bank of England unexpectedly raised rates overnight. What do you make of their rationale behind the move? Is it inflation trumping concerns over Omicron, essentially?
Oh, absolutely. I think that's for sure. And, you know, and BOE's been a little bit leery of that and actually out in front of this, for quite some time, although it did surprise me a little bit that they moved today when they did. But I think they're leading and they're going to lead the Fed here, it seems. And they must be worried.
Mm. You know, when you look at all this movements and changes that might be taking place in the Fed, where do you see U.S. dollar next year?
Yeah, that's a real good, because I probably couldn't have been more wrong in the dollar. But, you know, again, there's different dynamics that are affecting the dollar and dollar demand, not the least of which is rebalancing by, I think, pension funds, rebalancing some equity gains into bonds. But I tend to think that this bond market here is going to be, I think it's going to riot next year, because I, for one, don't see the logic whatsoever with the 1.45% 10-year yield. Well, even inflation, I don't expect it to continue at 7%. So it comes down to 3 or 4%. a 1.45% yield, nominal yield, makes no sense whatsoever. But from our standpoint of the economy and the market, that's still very negative rates. So, and again, that'll be market positive. But I think the rates are going to converge upward to the inflation rate, not the other way around.
Tim, thanks as always for the chat. That was Tim Mulholland, president of TJM Limited in Chicago, giving us his thoughts on trends in the markets, talking about his outlook next year for the dollar. Phil, what are some of your takeaways from that conversation?
Well, I mean, I think his takeaway for me personally was this investment club in which I think they are passing through all the different kind of tech stocks and how he kind of discerned between the quality tech and perhaps those meme stocks, which I think comes to the story that we have next, which is Reddit, right? Because they plan to file for an IPO. And apparently this is a confidential filing for an initial public offering, but the number of shares and proposed price ranges haven't been determined yet.
I mean, this is really interesting, right? Because Reddit converged with investor sentiment this year. And in a way, they fueled this meme stock frenzy based on a forum on Reddit called Wall Street Bets. And they're the ones that saw phrases like to the moon and diamond hands. And that was a huge theme earlier on in the year. So there's a lot of attention on this, I suppose, whether this IPO can actually succeed or in a way or what kind of interest it will attract.
Well, 50 million daily users, right, with 100,000 active groups. It's equivalently like laoya.com, but like amplified like a million times more, I suspect. It is huge. My question is, what's its revenue model? And the concern is that if it's purely advertising, is there the potential for it to really be profitable? Because advertising margins are under a lot of pressure.
That is right. I mean, I don't know if you use Reddit, Phil. I do from time to time. And I have seen an uptick in advertising content that wasn't there before. Yeah. So they are trying to monetize it. But again, I agree with what you said. Whether this is actually going to be a sustainable business model moving forward, we really don't know. In a funding round this summer, Reddit was valued at around $10 billion US dollars by investors. We don't know how much the valuation is for this IPO. It's something that we're going to be keeping an eye on as it unfolds.
Nespresso starts your morning right together with the Morning Run, bringing you the perfect blend of global market insights with expert guests.
Thank you for listening to this podcast. To find more great interviews, go to bfm.my or find us on iTunes. BFM 89.9, the business station.